जया गोपी जन वाला भिरीवार धारी यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा वन चारी जमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधे श्याम राधे श्याम राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम प्रभु पार प्रभु पार प्रभु पार जय जय प्रभु पार Shri Prabhupada ki jaya. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asotada Sata Shri Srimad is Divine Grace. Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 16, Text 10. Ye me tanur dvijavaran duhatir madhiya. Ye ye me tanur dvijavarandu hatir madhya. Bhutanya labdha sharanani cha bheda buddhya. Bhutanya labdha sharanani cha bheda buddhya. Drakshantya ghakshata jrishohya himanya vastan. Drakshantya ghakshata drishohya himanya vastan. Gridra rushama makushantya dhidandanetu. Gridra rushama makushantya dhidandanetu. Please chant. Duhatir madhya. Dandanetu. Ye me tanu dvijavarandu hatir madhya. Bhutanya labdha sharanani cha bheda buddhya. Drakshantya gakshata rishohya himanya vastan. Gridhra rushama makushantya dhidandanetu. Ye me tanur dvijavarandu hatir madhya. Bhutanya labdha sharanani. Gridra rushama makushantya didandanetu. Ye me tanu dvijavarandu hatir madhya. Bhutanya labdha sharanani cha bheda buddhya. Drakshantya gakshata drishohya himanya vastan. Gridra rushama makushantya dhidandanetu. Ye, which persons? Me, my. Tanu, body. Dvijavaran, the best of the brahmanas. Duhati, cows. Madhya, relating to me. Bhutani, living entities. Alabdha sharanani, defenseless. Cha, and bheda buddhya, considering as different. Drakshyanti see Agha by sin, Kshata is impaired, Drisha, whose faculty of judgment he, because Ahi, like a snake, Manyava, angry, Dan, those same persons, Gridraha, the vulture-like messengers, Rusha, angrily, Mama, my, Kushanti, tear, Adidandanetu, of the superintendent of punishment, Yamaraj. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The brahmanas, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. Please repeat. The brahmanas, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj. The superintendent of sinful persons. Purport. The defenseless creatures, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are the cows, brahmanas, women, children, and old men. Of these five, the brahmanas and cows are especially mentioned in this verse because the Lord is always anxious about the benefit of the brahmanas and the cows, and is prayed to in this way. Therefore, the Lord especially instructs that no one should be envious of these five, especially the cows and the brahmanas. In some of the Bhagavatam readings, the word duhitri is used because instead of duhati. But in either case, the meaning is the same. Duhati means cow, and duhitri can also be used to mean cow, because the cow is supposed to be the daughter of the sun god. Just as children are taken care of by the parents, women as a class should be taken care of by the father, husband, or grown-up son. Those who are helpless must be taken care of by their respective guardians, otherwise the guardians will be subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj, who is appointed by the Lord to supervise the activities of sinful living creatures. The assistants or messengers of Yamaraj are likened here to vultures, and those who do not execute their respective duties in protecting their wards are compared to serpents. Vultures deal very seriously with serpents, and similarly the messengers will deal very seriously with neglectful guardians. Hare Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamam Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Tirtha Swamiti Namine Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Shitamine Shigarapana Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Good morning. Thank you all for being present. I wanted to, before we get into the verse, I just wanted to quickly share a little snippet from another purport of Srila Prabhupada's from chapter, first canto, chapter 4, text 1, where he's describing the proper way to give a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And he says, personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it. Yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. So I'm asking the blessings of all the senior devotees here that I can present a class according to this standard of Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very, this is like what you call a hellfire and brimstone kind of verse. It's a very heavy verse, very heavy. Just to kind of go back, so here Lord Narayan is saying that these particular defenseless creatures, they're part of my own body. So, and then he lists them and he says those who their faculty of judgment has been impaired by sin. So those people who, because of their sinful activities, they're unable to understand that they are supposed to be taking care of these defenseless creatures. He says they're not distinct from me, and he says that those people, they're just like furious serpents. So it's bad enough, you know, to be compared to a serpent, but a furious serpent. So what I took from that was that people like that are, they're not only holding on to their misconceptions, but furiously, angrily, furiously holding on to this, to the misconception or this tendency to mistreat these five types of living entities. And then he says that what happens to them, they're angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj. So this is very graphic. It brings kind of a very strong visual, you know, in one's mind. So I wanted to just kind of go through each of the groups and discuss a little bit about why they're important. So first mentioned are the brahmanas, and the brahmanas, we know they represent the Lord. They're the head of the society and they give direction. And we've been hearing a lot about the brahmanas these last few verses, because that's Lord Vishnu is explaining why the brahmanas are so special for him. And we know that if they're the head of the society and if the head doesn't function, then basically everything else is a waste, because that guidance is important. It needs to be there. Otherwise, we don't know what to do with the rest. There's the six occupations of the brahmana, yajan, performing deity worship and teaching others to perform deity worship, or doing it on behalf of others. There's patan, studying the scriptures and teaching the scriptures. And there's dana pratigraha, giving in charity and also receiving in charity. And then in the, well, one place we see the qualities of a brahmana is in the Bhagavad Gita. This is 1842. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. And then in Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on yesterday's verse, he says that even an offense by a brahmana should be tolerated. And then in the commentary for today's verse, he says that, anyone who sees differences between Lord Vishnu and the brahmanas basically go to hell. So it means they need to be treated properly. We know the brahmanas are very powerful, like in the story, the pastime of King Vena. And when they understood that this Maharaj Vena was not going to, listen to them and perform his duties the way that he was supposed to, they killed him, which is usually something that the Kshatriyas do. But in this case, they chanted some mantras and they just did it themselves. So they're very powerful, but that's not something that they usually do. And then next, he mentions specifically the cows, which, we know the cows are very special. They provide milk. Krishna likes milk and milk products, so we like milk also because Krishna likes milk. Srila Prabhupada says that milk specifically from the cow helps to develop the finer brain tissue of the humans so that we can sharpen, helps us to sharpen our intelligence so that we can help us come to the proper Krishna conscious conclusions. The cow is one of the seven mothers. And in another comment, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the cows arose from the sun as part of the universal form. So the cow is the daughter of the sun, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. And then in return for all the service that the cow and the ox provide, the Vedas prescribe three duties for human beings towards the cow. Serving the cow, worshiping the cow, and protecting the cow. There's one story I found actually on the Krishna.com website. This is about King Dilip. And how one time he saw a lion getting ready to kill a cow. And he told the lion, you can't do this. You have to stop or I'll kill you. And then the lion actually took shelter of the king and said, well, what am I supposed to do? I need to eat something. So then the king said, better you eat me. You can eat me, but you can't eat the cow. So this is how important the cow is. And then in the end, we find that actually there were two demigods who were testing him. But it just shows the importance of the cows. Nowadays, a lot of people are into veganism, which is good in one sense because at least they're not eating meat. So this is very good. But they're still not, they have the wrong conception still because, for example, a few years back we were, Sri Vrindavan was arranging to set up a book table at the one of the vegan veg fests there. And they didn't want for us to set up a table because they said, well, you use your cows for an oxen for labor and you drink their milk and you're not supposed to do that. And even she had Adikarta Prabhu write to them and try to explain to them, you know, what the how it is according to the Vedas, and the, that the cows actually they want to give the milk. They give, they have enough for their calves, and they give more. And how the oxen are meant for working, they like that, but they wouldn't agree, so we couldn't have a table there. So in this way, it's like they've kind of gone too far to the other side. But still, it's better for them that, you know, to not, that they're not eating meat. Then next, Prabhupada mentions women. And of course, we can understand that it's important to protect women, because as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, when the women become polluted, then there's unwanted progeny, which is, you know, and that's the problem in the world today, is the level of souls that are coming into the world, for the most part, are causing so many difficulties. And then we heard that the daughter is supposed to be, or the woman is supposed to be protected by the father in the beginning of her life. And I remember taking a parenting course many years back from a Christian gentleman. And one thing that he was saying was how he was recommending that the father, well, that basically that the young girl, she learns how a man should treat her. She learns that from her father. And he was recommending that, he said one thing that he would do was take his daughter out on a date and just, you know, just show her how the man is supposed to be respectful and open the door for her and just things like that. So it's very important for the young girl to have the father's protection in the beginning of her life. And then ideally next comes protection by the husband. So this is a very nice, you know, when the couple, they have a good relationship, even in the case of, like, we're speaking a lot about Kashyapa Muni and Diti, and so they, you know, they had a problem where they ended up bringing forth these demons, but still he offered her protection. He was a good protector for her. Later on, we will hear about how she was desiring to kill Lord Indra, and so she went to him with that request, and so he had to figure out, well, this is not a good thing to be asking for, but still he came up with a way to satisfy her. And he actually purified her desire. He gave her some a process to follow in which she became purified. And so then later on, she wasn't able to kill Indra, but she was happy with that. So in this way, he offered her protection from her own desires. And then the thing is, of course, obviously, sometimes there's, you know, the husband might not be so qualified. And then what happens in a case like that? Yeah, so there's, you know, just, you kind of have to make adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. So I can remember one instance where one spiritual master, he gave the instruction to his disciple that actually she, in that marriage, she would have to be the spiritual head, just because at that point in time, the husband was spiritually weaker. So sometimes it's like that, and there has to be some adjustment. So we try to follow the guidelines, of course, the, you know, the, as much as possible, but sometimes, you know, it's Kali Yuga, things don't work out the way they're supposed to. So we have to make some adjustments. There's another instance. Actually, I was just in, I was in Giranagari just recently for His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's 20th anniversary Tirubhav. And many disciples were sharing pastimes. So one couple, they were saying they were actually his, they were personally serving him for some time. And but then there came a point where there was a need for some lakshmi, and one of them was going to have to go out to work. And so Maharaj actually told the wife that she should go out and work. And she said, you know, she was thinking, well, I'm the woman. Why are you having me go out and work? But actually now she's a temple president, one of our ISKCON temples. So, you know, it just kind of shows that he understood their natures. And at that point, you know, it was for whatever reason, it was better for her to go out and work than the husband. And later on, he did too. And it's not to say that he's not qualified or anything like that, but their spiritual master understood their natures, so he gave them an instruction according to that. Later on, then the protection is supposed to be by the sons for the woman. So again, you know, sometimes it might be that the woman doesn't have any sons, or her sons are young, and perhaps there's no husband. So then how does it work in that case? So still, by following the orders of following the instructions of Guru and Gauranga, then there's the protection is there. So that's always there for everyone. You know, we get protection, especially when we try our best to follow, and then the blessings come that way. Even we saw in the case, just like we heard again the other day, the story of Draupadi, and how, you know, even though she had five husbands and very powerful husbands, but in this particular moment when she needed so much help, they weren't able to help her. So she had to turn to Krishna. So ultimately, everyone has to be dependent on Krishna. We're all dependent on Krishna. Then there's also prayers to Queen Kunti in the first canto, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says how Krishna was basically obligated to protect Queen Kunti because she was a single mother. So the protection is there in whatever the circumstance. One just has to know how to access it. You could also see, you know, having young children, that also is a form of protection, in the sense that if the parent could be father or mother, if they're very dedicated to the well-being of that child or their children, then that helps them to keep, to remain fixed and to do, to try their best to do the right thing, because they want to set a good example and make sure that they're, you know, that they're doing their best for their children. And then we hear in the Bhagavad Gita where Konteya Pratijanihi, where Krishna says to declare it boldly to Arjuna that my devotee never perishes. So again, protection is there. The next group were children. Children. So these, as far as again, the who are the defenseless. So one of the groups is children, and in 761, this is Sri Prahlad Maharaj speaking. And this is a very famous verse where Prahlad Maharaj says, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." So the best way to protect the child is to give them Krishna consciousness from the very beginning. And they're, you know, in this early age, the child is obviously is defenseless and they're supposed to be protected. So protection means give them Krishna consciousness. But also, of course, there's the protecting their physical bodies and making sure that they have their whatever needs, that all needs are being met. Here's a little something from Srila Prabhupada in the purport here. "Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate against the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life." Yeah, so that's a little something about the protection of children. Also, another thing is in meeting the needs of children, being careful that we're not only giving them sense gratification. Yes, some is necessary, but not to give them the impression that this is all that life is about, because so that their opportunity for developing their Krishna consciousness is not spoiled. Of course, we're not perfect. We make mistakes, and we try our best, but we always have to keep in mind that we are swimming upriver. We're not trying to be like everyone else. So it can be challenging because, you know, the rest of the world is doing one thing and we're trying to do something different, completely different. I just want to also mention as far as children, the benefits of bringing the children to the temple. This is something I wanted to mention last time, but I forgot. Because I really feel that I had the experience that even when you just bring them to the temple, when the devotees see, especially the ladies, maybe the men not so much, but the ladies, when they see the kids at the temple all dressed nicely and just being here participating in the program, there's some there's an exchange there, actually. There's this feeling that, even just thinking, oh, so cute or how nice, and but that feeling actually coming from a devotee is so beneficial. It's very beneficial, and the child actually makes benefit from that. Last thing about that, sometimes some people, I think not anyone here, but some people may have difficulty with just reading scriptures. you know, maybe they find it hard to read scriptures, but actually it's very, it's just very enlivening, and it's so important to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, any of Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, because it's like a reminder. We always have to have a reset every day, you know, every day, just because, again, we're trying to do the opposite of what everyone else is doing, so we need that support in that way. So I had been reading just a little bit from the fifth canto. So this is, I won't read it, but this is Lord Rishabhdev teaching his sons. So the fifth canto, fifth chapter. And I was thinking this, like those first 28 verses, someone could just read that. Even not necessarily reading the purports right away, but if you just read the verses, and there, I mean, it's like a slap in the face, but pleasant, like throwing cold water on your face on a hot day, because it just reminds one, what is our purpose? What are we supposed to be doing here? So that's one section that I just highly recommend. You know, start, just read the verses, and then as you move forward, you start reading the purports also. This is 5:5-28. This is the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons. Just especially for those of us living outside and having to deal with all the material energy so much. And then the last group are the aged. So what's special about this group is that ideally, these are the group of people who have all their lives, or most of their lives, been practicing Krishna consciousness. So what's the next step for this group? Going back to Godhead, exactly. Yeah, so that's the thing. So they require special protection so that you know, that opportunity that they've been cultivating for so many years, that it can actually come to fruition. You know, so we want to, Dhritarashtra, although he didn't, you know, become, well, anyway, he surrendered at the end, finally, and he finally gave up his attachment and for all the material things that he wanted to achieve. So even if a person hasn't been practicing all their lives, still realization can come at any age. It just made me think, actually just now, of Mother Indrani, who, if you've been living here for many years, you might remember Mother Indrani was a... she joined the movement at, she was like 60, actually, when she joined. So she really was a devotee, maybe 20-something years. But I was there when she left her body, and it was very, very inspirational, let's say. So it's very nice. You want to be able to give that opportunity for the devotees who have been practicing for so long, and ensure that, you know, we do as much as we can so that they can transition back to the spiritual world. So basically, my understanding of this verse is the importance, because who's in these categories, basically pretty much everyone in this room kind of falls in at one of these categories, except for the cows. They're in a class by themselves. So Lord Vishnu is really encouraging the importance of good relationships amongst ourselves. Just like we heard that so nicely that from Bhakti Charu Maharaj this morning about not committing offenses and just the importance of treating devotees properly. And just really trying to avoid offenses. We know there's the story of, and just practicing humility. We know this story of Srila Rupa Goswami when he was in meditation, and he was in this trance, and he was seeing Radha and Krishna and like that. And then suddenly, and he laughed at something that he saw. And then suddenly the trance was broken because there was a devotee who was walking by at the same time, and he was thinking that Srila Rupa Goswami was laughing at him. And for me, I always have a hard time with that because I'm thinking, but it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. He didn't even do anything. It seems like unfair, but it just goes to show the level, you know, I mean, he shows us, Srila Rupa Goswami, by the level of his advancement, what did he do? He went looking to see who it was that he had offended, even though he didn't offend anyone, really. So this is what we're supposed to do. And then there's Srila Prabhupada, you know, how at the end of when he's ready to transition back to the spiritual world, he was asking for the begging to be forgiven for offenses he committed to his godbrothers. And, you know, for us, it's like, what offense did Srila Prabhupada ever commit that he needs to beg forgiveness? But still, he was doing it. And just, we're reading I'll Build You a Temple. And this is just the story of the building of the Juhu Temple. And in one yesterday's section, Srila Prabhupada, this is there. His rooms were just almost finished, but not quite. And so when he arrived, the devotees wanted him to stay in another place where he used to stay. And so Giriraj Maharaj says that he noticed that when they drove past the two towers that are there now, which is Prabhupada's rooms are there. You can still go and see. He noticed that Prabhupada looked, you know, at the rooms, at the buildings, and then kind of turned his head because they were driving past. So when he got to the place where they wanted him to stay, he just got very angry. And he said, "Why have you brought me here? I'm not staying here. This is not my home. I'm never staying here again." Because he wanted to stay in the new rooms. And he said, If you don't take me there now, you'll never finish it. So I want to go there now." So the devotees took, you know, they rushed back, and everything was like, there was a lot of this, they said, this goop on the floor because they were polishing the marble, and all this construction was going on. And they said Prabhupada just went in, he looked around, he said, "I'll sit there." He sat down, and then they had to rush and bring everything from the other place, the RT that they wanted to do. They had to bring everything over there. And he was just really like in kind of this ferocious mood, you know. And then, but it was like, ended up being like the best kirtan they ever had, and like this. And then at the end, Prabhupada was crying. And he was saying, "Oh, I'm paraphrasing, but just like I'm an old angry man, and I just like yell at you and like this, and you're so tolerant." And he was crying, and all the devotees were crying, and it was just, you know, it was just really amazing, you know, just his level of humility. So again, but somebody might say, and I'll finish with this last story. Somebody might say, "Well, that's, you know, these are pure devotees. I can't do like that." So another story that I heard, you know, last in Gita Nagari, one devotee was explaining how, you know, they were being trained that if someone is upset with you, you have to see yourself at fault. And so one time this devotee, she was having a program at her house, and the person who was supposed to bring the prasadam, for whatever reason, was upset with her. And so the person ended up just not showing up. They didn't come. And so here's this program happening. There's no prasadam. And so, of course, she was very upset. But her authority told her, "Well, later on, you need to go to that person and apologize." And, you know, she's thinking, "I need to apologize for what? This, she didn't show up when she was supposed to." So it was like very challenging. But she did it. She did it. And as soon as she did it, the other person just immediately, like, they just lost it, in the sense that they the other person was apologizing and really feeling so bad that, you know, that she had done this and like that. So it ended up being very nice, but you know, the devotee, she had to take the humble position and apologize, even though she didn't feel that she had done anything wrong. So I just wanted to share that, because, you know, these are regular devotees, and this is a nice example, you know, of how to behave. It's not easy, but yeah, we have to, this is the level that we want to get to. So it's 9 o'clock. I'll just read the verse one last time. The brahmanas, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. Jai. Oh, yes, Prabhu. Marumati Prabhu.
Thank you, Kadashi, for your class. In your main part, you were talking about protection of, mm-hmm. you know, of all the different people. My question is, in Kali Yuga, we see that things are not the way they're meant to be. Mm-hmm. These people are not being protected, you know, and different, you know, we find so much more and more. Things are more opposite than what we hear. Mm-hmm. We also see there's one question. The question is, does this really affect, or how does this affect one's spiritual life when the social situation is not conducive in some sense? But at the same time, I want to mention that in Bhagavad Gita, we see that Arjun, you know, he presents all these reasonings that why he shouldn't fight. And all the reasons that he expresses is basically social situations. I mean, all these, I mean, everybody, you know, all those men were killed, and he was concerned about Varna Sankar, you know. But Krishna didn't seem to care, and that's, he says it's more important that Yudhishthira Maharaj is, you know, on the throne. So it seems like from that situation, well, you know, spiritual life is much higher or mm-hmm. than the social situation, and yet the social situations are important. So yeah, that's what I wanted. How does it affect? Does it really affect one's spiritual life when we're in such a social, you know?
The effect is there. There's always going to be an effect, but we protect ourselves. We protect ourselves. Our sadhana and our association, that's our protection. So, yeah, so we have to make sure that those things are strong. Otherwise, we do become... the effect is there. It's stronger. It's stronger. But it's lessened to the degree that we are following our practices. That's what comes to mind. And that also speaks to the importance of having good association, you know, of reading regularly, hearing the class, and having good relationships with Vaishnavas.
Thank you.
Sukada Prabhu.
Thank you for so many good points. I was just thinking, you know, in our own community, how important it is to be, you know, a good neighbor, to to watch out for each other, mm-hmm. to see. Just because recently there was a devotee, I think it's okay to mention his name, Rari Chaitanya, mm-hmm. and his neighbor, Rama Devi, she actually called me, and she said, "Can you give me a call either tonight or tomorrow morning?" So, you know, it was already 8 o'clock, so I'll call her in the morning. That's where I called her. She said, "I haven't heard from my neighbor, and a big tree fell on his car, and he's not doing anything, and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm worried about him." She actually started to cry. "I'm worried about him. Like, what if he passed away inside the house?" So as it turns out, you know, we called the police, and they went in, and he'd been in his shower for a couple of days, just lying there, you know? Mm-hmm. So she saved his life, mm-hmm. because, you know, even though he came to lunch every day and he didn't show up for a few days, people just thought, well, you know, he went somewhere, or maybe he's not feeling well. Mm-hmm. But as people become older and then they're prone to fall, you know, and maybe not be able to get up, it's so important that just a phone call or going to check on them to make sure, that would really help our community, you know, stay mm-hmm. safe. And yeah. and as you mentioned, it strengthens us mm-hmm. when we take that step forward mm-hmm. and, you know, try to make sure that someone's not feeling lonesome or their health is okay. You know, right now in devotee care, they're working on a plan that, you know, elderly people, especially living alone, mm-hmm. can have one of those buttons, you know, mm-hmm. that you push. Mm-hmm. So if you mm-hmm. do fall, you can contact, yeah. someone's contacted right away. I think, Madam Ritchie, you have one of those. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so.
I think everybody should get that SOS button, because it allows, even if you're living together with somebody who is in, you know, I mean, I have one for Sesha Prabhu. Anytime I leave the house, I put that on him. And literally one time I didn't put it on him, and he did fall. And he was on the floor till I came back mm-hmm. in the house. So I was so happy to hear that Nanda just got one. And everybody at an older age, it's a... So thank you for telling about, you know, about the devotee helping out with Murari Chaitanya Prabhu. Mm.
Thank you. And thank you for all you do to coordinate that. Yeah, it's important to save a... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want to mention, there's another devotee who's got the same button, mm-hmm. and she pressed it, and I'm her contact, mm-hmm. and I made some arrangement quickly. It happened, yeah. So mm-hmm. it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada was talking about where to take protection also, or those who offer protection. So first your father, right, and then husband, and then elder son. And in my particular case, there was a time where my husband wanted to leave the Association of Devotees and the Dham. And so we had tried like 3 times. We would leave, pack our little suitcase and leave, but he would always say, okay, let's turn, you know, we'd go an hour down the road and he'd say, well, or, you know, let's go get a bookshelf for the Bhagavatams we just bought, and then we'll go back, right? You know, mm-hmm. something like that. But on the third time, he said, you know what? If you want to stay, you can stay. But I don't want to be here for the winter, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm going to leave, and I'll be back when the snow melts, right? So as Maya would have it, he did not return. And... So I started going out on Sankirtan. I was asked to go out on Sankirtan. So about a year later, we got the message that he was going to come back. And but I was planning to go out on Sankirtan that month with the party. And one senior to me said, no, your husband's coming back. You have to stay back. And I was like, okay, he's been gone over a year, you know. You know, and so they said, well, you have to ask the higher authorities, you know, before you jump in the van with us, right? So I said, okay. So I gave the scenario, and so I was asked the question, do you feel protected by him? And I thought about it, and I said, no. You know, I said, I feel protected by devotional service. And so he said, then go do your service, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of been that way ever since, you know, some 30 plus years later, mm-hmm. right? You know, and so I just want to say sometimes the elder son is, I mean, my son was little, he was a young boy at the time, you know, so the, you know, I feel that taking shelter of Krishna through devotional service was a good path for me. Anyway.
Yeah, of course. That's as I said, we're protected by our service for sure. Everyone, if we try to take it seriously, the protection is there. Yeah.
Oh. I was just reading about Dhritarashtra mm-hmm. leaving home.
Yes.
How come he didn't bring a safe button with him?
Okay, thank you. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.